Well, let's move on to the main message today. We're going to open in our Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 21, and we're going to read an interesting story here. Numbers 21, and we'll begin in verse 4. We know that this account picks up right after God had brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. You know, for generations they were there living a very difficult life, working as slaves in the land of Egypt, and God, through the leadership of Moses, decided to bring them out of that slavery and rescue them. And that's exactly what he did.
There we go, that's better.
So in Numbers 21 and verse 4, they're traveling now through the wilderness, and they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Now, what was the food that they detested? The manna that God miraculously fed them with when there was no food there. So it's interesting when it comes to human nature, something that we've all had and we all still fight against in some respects, how easy it is to turn a situation where God has rescued you miraculously through all the plagues of Egypt, parting the Red Sea so that they could come through and escape the Egyptian armies, and here they are on their way to the promised land, and all of a sudden the Israelites start complaining about their conditions. That's human nature for you. And not only to complain about the conditions, but to turn and to criticize and to complain about God's provision for them. You know, the things that God miraculously provided for them because he loved them, now they're complaining about them. So we need to be careful in our lives whenever we find ourselves complaining, maybe something about our house or something about our car or something about the clothes that we wear, or what we're doing is we're complaining against God and the provision that he has provided for us. You know, the house that we live in is a gift from God. The cars that we drive are gifts from God. The clothes that we wear are what God has provided for us. So let's not fall into that trap of getting critical and bitter and complaining. Let's read on what happened. Verse 6. So because of their bad attitude, and God's going to teach them a lesson, then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people, and many Israelites died. So I don't know about you, but I don't like venomous snakes. I don't like snakes at all, but especially venomous snakes, poisonous snakes. So the people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. Now, isn't that an interesting story? I could just imagine Moses, you know, with this huge throng of people and obeying God and, you know, having the metal smith or whoever form a snake out of bronze and put it up on top of a pole. And here's Moses, you know, with the people. "Okay, anybody who's bitten by a snake, come over here to this pole and look at the snake on the pole and you'll be healed. You won't die from the poisonous snakes." So I can imagine people lining up, you know, coming to this pole, looking at the snake and being miraculously healed by God. So God had mercy on a rebellious Israelitish nation in the wilderness, and this act of mercy was a tremendous miracle. But you know, miracles of healing are wonderful things, and God provides those, and Jesus certainly healed a lot of people when he walked the earth. But understand that physical miracles of healing are only temporary, because all of the people, you know, that came through the wilderness here with Israel when God rescued them, they all died, didn't they? So it was a temporary help. You know, you got bitten by a poisonous snake, you come in, you look at the pole with the snake on it, and immediately you're healed from that poisonous bite. But it was temporary because those people lived on and they eventually died in the wilderness, the whole nation, except for two people we know, Joshua and Caleb. They were the only ones who survived to enter the promised land. Turn with me now to John chapter 3 and verse 14, because Jesus references this story, and notice what he says about it. John chapter 3 and verse 14. Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man," Jesus speaking about himself, "must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." So Jesus compares himself to this story from the Old Testament, you know, the snake, figure of a snake made out of bronze. Jesus says, just as Moses lifted that up for the physical healing of the people, the Son of Man, Jesus himself, must be lifted up on the cross. And we know that he was lifted up on the cross to be crucified and to die for our sins. Just as the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So we're talking about another kind of healing here. In the Old Testament, with Moses putting up the snake on the pole, that brought physical healing. Physical healing from poisonous snake bites. But Jesus, in a similar way, he made the comparison. He was to be lifted up on the cross to die, and he was going to provide a spiritual healing for the whole human race. This was a permanent spiritual healing that will last for all eternity. You see the comparison there? Physical healing versus spiritual healing. So often in our lives, we focus and pray for physical healing. And that's good, because we don't like to be sick. We don't like to be hurt. We don't like to be injured. And when we're feeling that way, we cry out to God for mercy. He encourages us to do that. And we do it. We pray for the sick every week at church. We like him to take away our aches and pains and our infirmities. And when we are healed, we're very thankful for that. But let me ask you the question. Are we thankful for the spiritual healing that Jesus provided for us? Don't forget, physical healing is temporary. You know, God can heal the particular problem that you have, but years later, maybe down the road, you got another problem, a different kind of problem. They keep coming the older we get. Those are temporary type of healing. And a lot of the people that we've prayed for in the church over the years ultimately died. They went to their grave. So that physical healing was a temporary healing. But Jesus has also provided for us, and sometimes we overlook this, a spiritual healing that is not temporary, it's permanent, and it's eternal. So instead of focusing on our physical infirmities and getting a little discouraged and depressed about them, God encourages us to focus on the spiritual healing that we've all been given. We know that Jesus healed many people during his earthly ministry. I want to turn to Matthew 11, beginning in verse 2. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 2, this is when John the Baptist and his followers were questioning Jesus, "Are you the one we've been waiting for? Are you the promised Messiah?" And how did Jesus reply to them? He said, "Well, you go back and tell John about how the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." So the physical healings were part of the proof that Jesus was who he said he was, the promised Messiah, the Son of God. So the physical healings were important. And as I said, they're based on God's mercy. He looks down upon us in our suffering, and he has compassion. And when we pray to him, he responds to us. Now, sometimes we go through certain trials that are destined or determined to go on for a while, because when we go through trials, which include sicknesses, accidents, and things like that, there are lessons to be learned. There's patience to be learned. There's reliance on God and faith in God to be learned. So sometimes those trials go on a little bit. Sometimes God miraculously heals immediately. It's up to his will and you know, his timing. And his timing is always perfect, and his will is perfect. So physical healings are wonderful. We pray for them all the time. But by coming to Jesus, we have been healed from spiritual sickness, spiritual disease that we have. And I think in the sermon, we're seeing that the spiritual healing is more important. It's not temporary, it's permanent, and it even goes on into eternity. So physical ailments have been healed by Jesus, by God. Spiritual ailments have been healed by Jesus and by God in us as Christians and as followers of Jesus. By coming to Jesus, we have been healed not necessarily from physical blindness. We have been healed from spiritual blindness. We haven't been healed necessarily from physical deafness, but we have been healed from spiritual deafness. In Matthew 11 here, verse 16 and 17, Jesus was talking about how he speaks in parables so that the people don't necessarily understand what he's teaching, because these are great spiritual truths here that not everybody has been given to understand. But in Matthew 11, verse 16, and speaking to the disciples and speaking to us, because we are disciples, he says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." In other words, to hear spiritual things, to understand spiritual things, the teachings of Jesus. He says, "For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men and women longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." So when we think about the spiritual healing that we have been given by God, not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. I was never deaf, but I went through many years in my life where I would hear things and not understand them. Things from the Bible. I'd read them and wonder what that meant. Or I would see things, you know, from Jesus' life and watch movies about him and not really understand or get it as to who he was and what he was doing and what he was teaching. But now I have that understanding. And not everybody has it. And that is a special healing that you have been given by God. And you know what? The things that you understand are not temporary. These are truths from God that will be with you for all eternity. And you're growing in your understanding. You're growing in the things that you see with spiritual understanding. And the longer we're with God and going on into eternity, it's mind-boggling some of the things that we're going to understand, that God hasn't even bothered revealing to us because our human minds in this age can't understand them. But in the future, I think that our understanding about God is going to grow deeper and deeper. And his plan for the human race and how we have been part of it. So there's a difference between physical healing and spiritual healing. And sometimes we just get focused on the physical, you know, our aches and pains and the things we long for in our lives. And we kind of forget or negate the great spiritual healing that God has provided for us. And it's, you know, a spiritual healing is just as much a miracle and even more so than physical healing. Not only have we been healed from spiritual blindness and spiritual deafness, but we have spiritually been raised from the dead. You consider that? You know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, what a fantastic miracle that was. Somebody who was dead for several days brought back to life. And whenever I read through that story, I want to know more. What was it like to talk to somebody who had been dead and is now back alive again? I would have wanted to take Lazarus aside and say, what did you experience? What was it like to be dead and now you're back here? How has it changed you? But nobody in the Bible asked him those questions. I wanted to know. But God told us as much as we need to know. But not only was Lazarus and a few others in the Bible stories raised from the dead, but you and I have been raised from the dead, spiritually speaking. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Let's turn to Colossians 2 and verse 13. Paul's talking about when we were called out of darkness. He says here, when you were dead in your sins, and that's the condition that we were all in. We were dead in our sins. We were destined for death because of the death penalty we all owe, because we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So we're all included in that. When we were dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. So we were raised from the dead, spiritually speaking. And I think that that is a greater miracle than raising somebody back to physical life. Because, you know, Lazarus' resurrection from the dead, it wasn't really a resurrection, it was a resuscitation. The breath had gone out of him for several days, and now by the power of God, it came back in him. But you know what? It was only temporary, because Lazarus eventually died again. He lived out how many years God gave him to go on after his being brought back to life, but then he eventually died again. It was only temporary. It was a temporary physical healing. Certainly it was miraculous, but it didn't last forever. You and I have been brought back to life, to a life that is not going to end again. It's going to go on for all eternity. God forgave us our sins and gave us a new spirit-led life. And we are a new creation. A new creation in Jesus Christ. I like what Jesus says in John 11, verse 25. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He's talking about eternal life. It emanates from him. He's the one who grants eternal life. That's what he meant when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Listen to this. He who believes in me, that's us, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus asked the question, do you believe this? What about you? Do you believe this? Yes. We believe, Lord. We believe. You know, I've preached many funerals over the years, and it's always a special opportunity when I preach the funeral of a Christian. And I'm talking to the audience there who may not know all of what we believe and what Jesus provided for us. But I explained to them that, you know, when we die, the body goes to the grave, but the Bible says the spirit goes to be with God. And I explained to them that, you know, we as human beings are not just physical, but there's a spirit in us. God has placed a spirit in us. And it's not something you can see on an X-ray. And when somebody dies, they've even done experiments where they had somebody who was on their deathbed on a scale just to see that at the moment of death, if their weight changes because somehow their spirit or their soul leaves the body and it doesn't register, okay, because it's spirit. There's a difference between spirit and something that's physical. So, you know, they don't understand what this is all about, but God teaches us, and we don't understand fully all about it, but there is a spirit aspect to us that he's placed in there, and this spirit that we have is where God connects with us. The scripture says the Holy Spirit talks to or convinces our spirit that we are children of God. That's what the scripture says. So, somehow the spirit that God has placed in us is that connecting point between God and human beings. And when we die, that spirit aspect of ourselves goes to be with God. And does that mean that there's some consciousness with that? That we're aware of you know, being in the presence of God? Well, Scripture seems to say that too. I think of the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, where the rich man dies and he goes to paradise, and there's Lazarus there hanging out with Abraham. It says in Abraham's bosom. You know, in other words, a great place to be. You know, you're in God's presence, you're in the presence of the patriarchs and all that sort of thing, and the conversation goes on between the rich man and Lazarus, and, you know, of course, there's a great divide between them now, and the Jews always felt that when you die, whether you're righteous or not righteous, you kind of go to the same place, but there's a division in that place there, where the godly people are in one section and the ungodly people are in another section. So it seems to be, and I mean, Jesus told that story, and it seems to imply that there's consciousness there. When we die and the body gets put in the grave, a part of us goes to be in God's presence. And that, of course, leads up to eventually Jesus returning, where he's going to bring those dead in Christ with him, and there's going to be a resurrection from the dead, and we're going to receive a glorified body at that time. So, you know, we don't know all the details of the future, but that seems to be what God explains to us. So Jesus tells us that he is the resurrection and the life, and if we believe in him, we will live even though we die. So there's no end to this life. Jesus has raised us from the dead in Christ, and it's a life that we have now that has no end. We're going to live eternally with God. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? We do believe it, Lord, because your word is truth. And you are the life, you are the resurrection. So consider the healing that we have received. We enjoy physical healing from God when we're hurting, when we need physical help like that. We cry out to him, and in his compassion, he looks down on us, and in his mercy, he answers that prayer according to his will and his timing. But don't lose sight of the fact that we have received a much greater healing from God, a spiritual healing, so much so that ears that could hear God's word spoken and not understand it has been changed so that we now listen with understanding. And our eyes, you know, we could see things in the past and not fully fathom what was happening there. But now God has given us the ability to see maybe his intervention in somebody's life, his intervention in our life. And all of a sudden now we get it. Hey, that was God. That was God who did that. Or God put that thought in my mind. Or, you know, God brought me to the point of repentance. Or God inspired me to want to be baptized. Now we have been given eyes to see blindness. Spiritual blindness has been cured in each of our lives. So how blessed are we by God? You know, don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. And we have, Scripture says in Ephesians, I believe it is, we have received every blessing in Jesus Christ. Every blessing. And a spiritual healing goes much deeper, and it's much more profound than a physical healing. Physical healings are wonderful, and we rejoice when they happen. But we have all received a spiritual healing that is not temporary, it's permanent, and it's going to last for all eternity. The Apostle Paul had to learn this lesson in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're all familiar with this story. 2 Corinthians, and in verse 12, Paul was talking about the things that had been revealed to him about the future, about Jesus Christ. He even had the opportunity to have a vision of, Jesus on his throne and what things are like in heaven. And he was inspired to tell us it's much better than what we have on this earth. It is much, much better. So strive for your heavenly reward. But in spite of all of these things that God had revealed to him, he says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited, because Paul fought human nature just like we all do, so he didn't get a big head, you know, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations from God, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, he doesn't get into detail as to what this was. It was some sort of a trial situation, something that it may have had to do with his eyesight, that he had, you know, poor eyesight. It could have been people just persecuting him constantly. We don't know what this thorn in the flesh was, but we've all had a thorn in our flesh, and we know how painful and disturbing and aggravating and annoying it can be. So something like this came into Paul's life. He says in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So it was something physical. Like I said, either a person or a health condition or something like that. But notice what God replied to him. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So, in other words, what God said to Paul, so he was crying out for a physical healing. He was in pain or he was in anguish. He wanted God to remove it, but God said, at least for the time being, Paul, the answer is going to have to be no. And he reminded him, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. You have received a spiritual blessing from me. By my grace and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, your sins have all been forgiven. You have now eternal life. And I have, you know, given you every blessing in Jesus Christ, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, all of the things that you have received now. And that is going to overshadow this thorn in the flesh that you have now. And God says, in my wisdom and in my timing, I'm going to allow you to deal with this for a while in your life because there's lessons to be learned. Lessons about relying on me, lessons about faith, lessons about endurance, spiritual endurance. So for the time being, I'm sorry, but the answer is going to have to be no. I'm not going to remove it. My grace, everything else I've given you, all of the spiritual healings and the spiritual blessings, that's sufficient for you. And furthermore, my power is made perfect in weakness. Because when you're weak and you're hurting and you're struggling, hopefully you're going to rely on me more, and that's the goal. I want you to rely on me, to have your faith and confidence and trust in me. And it's easier to do that when you're suffering, maybe when you're in pain, when you're in a trial situation. You're drawn to me. So that's the way it's going to have to be for now. So Paul says, he had a good attitude, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So do you ever wonder why sometimes when you pray for God to remove something bad from your life, whether it's a health issue, whether it's a financial issue, no matter what you're going through, and sometimes God's answer is, help's coming, but not yet. Hang in there. Rely on me. Trust in me. And that's a lesson that we have to learn. Because when life is great and it's happiness every day and every way, we don't necessarily think about God that much. We only think about him when we're going through tough times. And God says, that's good. Nobody likes trials, and it's not God's intention that he just heap trials on us all the time, but he sees a benefit in trials for us. God has a different perspective on things, doesn't he? We're down here looking up at him, and he's up there with a perfect overview, knowing all the past, knowing all the future, knowing all the present. He loves us, and he wants what's best for us. And sometimes he gives us a timeout. He says, you know what? For the time being, try to focus on not what you're lacking, but what you've got. Because you've got a lot. I've healed you spiritually. I've blessed you with every blessing in Jesus Christ. Take some time and just focus on that. And that brings spiritual what's the word I'm looking for? Maturity. Spiritual maturity. Puts things in perspective. You get the right balance and the right perspective when you look at life that way. So God doesn't turn his back on us. He doesn't reject us or forsake us. He's always there. He's always fully aware of what's going on in each of our lives. And he doesn't want us to just focus on what we don't have, but to focus and give thanks for what we have and how God has blessed us richly. So there's a difference between physical healing and spiritual healing. Physical healing is temporary. Spiritual healing is eternal. And sometimes we as human beings just get focused and all bent out of shape on the physical. And, you know, we're physical beings. Here we are on the earth here, and God is trying to help us see things more through his eyes and to have his perspective on things. And I think we're all growing in that regard, and we've made a lot of progress. But this battle is going to continue on until Jesus returns or until we breathe our last breath. But we have these wonderful promises from God, and rest assured, you have been spiritually healed. Your deaf ears have been opened. Your blind eyes have been opened, spiritually speaking. And you've been raised from the dead to not just be resuscitated back to a physical life. You have been raised from the dead to a new life. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. So all praise, glory, and honor goes to our Savior Jesus, who made it all possible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for healing, something that we all need. And we all need physical healing, Lord, and we're free to call out to you anytime. And you're always there to listen. But Father, more so and more deeply, we need spiritual healing. And you've provided that for us, but it hasn't come to an end. It's an ongoing process. Spiritual healing continues on. And we want to thank you for that, Father, and help us to focus on what we've been given and not what we might be lacking. And as we learn from the example of the Apostle Paul, he had to deal with some issues in his life, but they were bringing him closer to you, Lord. So work the same thing out in each of our lives. None of us like trials and persecution, but sometimes we have to go through it and endure it with your strength and your help and your grace to see us through. Lord, you're the good shepherd, and we just pray, lead on as you lead us into eternal life. Thank you. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll have a final song and then the benediction.